Get you get beat. We played the game of life, and Joshua amassed all the wealth, and he beat me in that. My wife beats me in several different games. She obliterates me in table tennis. I don't know what's in her wrist, but I mean, she just tow. I mean, effortlessly. I'm running over here, and I'm running over here, and she's just kind of like attack, 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 and I'm just. And she gets the victory over me all the time. Amen. But guess what? I have a victory.
Yes, sir.
Through Jesus Christ. I may be bad in table tennis. She may whoop me good. Amen. But I have a victory in Christ. That's one thing I can't lose at. Amen. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so I may lose in a whole lot of things in life. But this is one I'm going to win. Amen. I have the victory. Notice what he says again. But thanks be to God. Why do you say but thanks? Because of verse 56 and verse 55. O death, where's thy sting? O grave, where's thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. We know that for a fact. But he says, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So even though we have this sin issue and this sin problem in the flesh, God has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is absolutely magnificent. So what is Paul's encouragement then? Verse 58, therefore, as a result of this victory, as a result of having the victory over death and the sting of death and sin, as a result of it being swallowed up, he says, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We do what we do now because of our love for the Lord Jesus Christ and the world which is to come. Now, we don't work for our salvation, but the things that we do for Christ are being built up and amassed for us to be reserved up in heaven. The monies that we give, the good deeds that we do, the souls that we win, all those things are being stored up when we get to heaven and the Lord sees us there and we get rewarded for the things that we do. Amen. And that is a blessing that God would even choose to reward us for the things that we do. He doesn't have to. Did you know that? He doesn't have to. You know, people say, oh, I found this wallet over here. And people give him a reward. They don't have to give him a reward. You know that?
They don't.
Amen. Now, by the way, when I return somebody's wallet, I'm looking for a reward.
Amen, Pastor.
Amen. I am. Especially when I look and I see a bunch of money and I think, here, you can have them. They don't give you anything. You think, well, you stingy rascal, you.
Yeah.
I saw them. I could have took that money and been like a thief, but I want a reward. And oftentimes, if we're honest, we think that way. I want a reward.
Exactly, Pastor.
But God doesn't have to give us one.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, Rose. Amen.
Hey.
She might have came anonymously and we didn't know it was her.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And by the way, you know, just returning something like that is reward in and of itself because you're saying I'm honest. I'm not trying to keep what's not mine. I'm trying to be above board. And so that in and of itself is reward to the heart and the spirit, knowing that, hey, my character and my integrity says something. That I didn't try to keep this. I looked in there and saw that money. And I mean, I found one at Walgreens one time, dropped right outside the door. So it had to have been someone quickly. And I picked it up and I looked and I didn't see anybody. And I looked inside and it was a bunch of money. I thought, he must have got just paid. Amen. I closed it up and I immediately took it right to the counter. And I said, hey, look, I found this wallet right here at the door. So I don't know whose it is. But, you know, I see this picture here and I don't know that person. Perhaps you guys know it. I said, here, take my business card and put it with that. Let them know that I'm the one that found it. And I never heard from them again. But, you know, the person that dropped that wallet could have been sitting right outside in the car looking to see who was going to pick it up.
Yeah, Pastor. Yep. Could be.
To see if you're going to pocket it. That says a lot about your integrity and your character when you can do that, you know. And, you know, when you look at these things like that, you know, we get rewarded for what we do for Christ. And that is absolutely phenomenal. Now, is that the reason why we do what we do? No. But it sure makes it worthwhile. Amen. Knowing that there is something there. Notice they give us some verses there in your book there. You've got 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 58, which we went through last week. And then you've got your overview there as well. And that first opening sentence says, oftentimes we live as if our lives will last forever. Amen. It says we will. And I told you that, you know, I scratched out and put oftentimes because we don't always. Amen. So I put down there oftentimes we do that. And then there's a lesson theme there. Properly assessing the brevity of life helps us live in such a way that we bring honor and glory to God. And when you think about the brevity of life, just think about that cloud that covers the sun. It doesn't always do that. Nor does it always rain. Nor is it always hot. Nor is it always cold. Unless you're in Alaska or someplace like Antarctic. Amen. Amen. Surgeon Katie just came from Alaska as well. And so they know about that. Amen. This is the worst that you and I will see. Did you ever stop to think about that? You know, we listened to the news the other day, and even my children said, man, that's so depressing. It's bad news, after break-in, after murder, after killing, after uprising. And my kids even said, man, is there anything good going on? Amen. You know, and you have to stop and think, this is the worst that we'll see. It really is. The best is yet to come.
Yes, sir.
I remember hearing a message by Brother Lancaster years ago, the best is yet to come, talking about heaven. I mean, I'm looking forward to that. Amen. This life is preparation for the next. So you got a lesson theme there. We want to make sure we bring honor and glory to God. And, you know, victory over a temporal world. We looked at what the definition of temporal was. It was of or relating to time as opposed to eternity. Another definition, it says of or relating to earthly life. Of or relating to earthly life. And we asked, what are some of the signs of this being a temporal world? We came up with aging, death, history, sickness, growth, cemeteries. And I took time to tell you guys last week about the Kiefer's church as they converted a funeral home. And down in the basement, there are still caskets down there. And Serge had asked me, was I not afraid to stay there? And I wasn't, as long as I thought somebody else was staying there with me. Amen. As soon as I found that I was alone, then I shuddered. I thought, caskets are downstairs in the basement. Now, there's no bodies in it, but just the phobia of that in your brain can play tricks on your mind. Amen. Amen. Those are all things that remind you that this is a temporal world. Death is, it's there. Who's that? The Price is Right? No, not him. Monty Hall. Monty Hall just died. What did he do? What game show was that? Let's Make a Deal. He just died.
He's like the genius behind quite a few of them.
Of those game shows?
He hosted Let's Make a Deal, but he was kind of the guiding force behind a lot of them.
Amen. And I remember Monty Hall, too. Guess what? He's dead.
Wow.
The brevity of... Now, he lived to be 90-something years old. 96, but... The brevity of life. You know, what is our life but a vapor? I mean, it's here today, it's gone tomorrow. And so, you know, when you think of this temporal world here, you know, relating to time as opposed to eternity, relating to this earthly life. And so there's some signs that are there. And we don't like to think about death. Now, we love thinking about the rapture. Now, why do we like thinking about a rapture and we don't like thinking about death? We don't want to experience death. Amen. If the rapture happens, we don't have to die. I mean, the Bible says in a moment, twinkling of an eye, boom, we're changed. I mean, we could be right here, right now, and then if the rapture happens, but we're gone. I think I told you guys before, I dreamed that I was caught up in the rapture one time. And in my sleep, I was like going, wee. And my wife woke me up in the middle of the dream. And I thought, when you woke me up, I was getting caught up in a rapture. I went to go see what heaven was like. Amen. She thought I was gagging or choking because she's always going. And I was in my dream going, wee, because I felt weightless, like being on one of those rides where you go up and your stomach. And I was going up and I was like, wow, I'm going to heaven. And then I woke up and I was back in the temporal world again. And I thought, oh, to be back in that dream for a while. But now I've got to contend with life. Show you a couple scriptures here. Romans 8:23. Let's look at that real quick. Victory over a temporal world. That's what we want to have. And it's a mindset that you have to have by focusing on the Word of God. Romans 8:23. And Romans 8:23, notice what Paul encourages the Roman believers. He says, not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. That means we've been born again. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. We're looking forward to cashing this one in for a new one. Amen. And that's going to be a blessing to cash this body in. The sentiment is echoed in 2 Corinthians as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. What are we talking about? Victory over temporal war. We're waiting for this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And notice verse 15. He says, for all things are for your sakes. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And so we're looking forward to the day, although this one is aging, it's getting older, it's getting sicker, and all sorts of things happen to it. We're looking for this new one. But notice what he says. The inward man's renewed day by day. The spiritual man that's going to be forever is renewed day by day, is getting stronger and stronger. And by the way, the more of the word of God that we give ourselves over to and yield to, the stronger the spiritual man is going to be, which means the fleshly man can get what? Weaker and weaker. Amen. And again, over in verse number 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are what? Temporal. Or they are relating to this earthly life. But the things which are not seen are eternal. So again, it's like the cloud covering the sun. That's what it's like. Time and eternity. We will be in eternity where there will be sunshine.
Amen.
I mean, I'm looking forward to that. You know, the Bible talks about there's not going to be any need for the sun because the Son of God is going to be the light that's going to be in there. Amen. That is encouraging right there. So you want to go back to chapter 5. Chapter 5. And notice what he says there. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. From this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. Talking about our body, our eternal body. It shall be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle, talking about our body, do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit, or the down payment of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are what? Absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be what? Absent from the body, and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. So he says, you know, we still are busy for the Lord, that whether we're there or whether we're here, we want to be pleasing in his sight. Amen. And we do. So let's go ahead and fill in your outline, some questions here. Victory over a temporal world. Victory over a temporal world. So if you got your outline there, the first blank there is the reminder of life's brevity. Roman numeral 1, reminder of life's brevity. Then A, God may call us home by death. God may call us home by death. Then B, God may call us home by the rapture. One of the two. By the way, we're going one of those two ways. Death or the rapture. How many want to go by death? Only if we go in our sleep. That could be just like going in the rapture. Amen. We're not on the death list. We don't want to put our name on that list. Although we know it's a reality, it could happen. But most of us don't want to go there. So Roman number 1, the reminder of life's brevity. Then A, God may call us home by death. Then B, God may call us home by the rapture. Let me read what it says here. It says, the reminder of life's brevity. The Bible tells us that life is short. Mm-hmm. We know that. We just have to turn on the news and see people like Monty Hall. And the relatives that you have, relatives that I have, people getting shot, people dying in fires and earthquakes and hurricanes, to know that life is short. 1 Corinthians 15:51 says we shall not all sleep, which means what? Dying. We should not all sleep, dying. It's a metaphor for dying, and death is a reality. It says here, Supreme Court Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes wrote this to his colleagues on the bench in his retirement letter, saying, "Death plucks my ears and says, live, for I'm coming." He said, death is plucking at his ears, saying, you better live, for I'm coming. Amen. You know, and the older you get, the more conscious you get of death. I mean, as a child, I didn't even have a clue about death. I mean, I thought we were pretty much invincible. You know, you fall off of this, you get up, you break this, it heals. You go over here and have a cold. Mommy heals you up. Yeah. You do all these things and oblivious to death. Although I understood the reality of it, it comes to everybody but me. Now, did y'all think differently when you were young? Death comes to everybody else but me. I don't die. Most kids think that way. I don't die. I live forever and ever and ever and ever. I'm not. It's there that I probably won't, but dismiss that. Yes, you know, we're invincible. And so, you know, when we look at that, and I like this. It says, all of our plans are subject to the sovereign will of God. We do not tell him when life will end, nor should we tell him how our lives will be spent.
I like it. That's good.
Interesting.
That's good.
We are not given the promise of tomorrow. Whatever we're going to accomplish for good and for God needs to be done now rather than delayed. In other words, how many of y'all have those two to-do lists? Amen. And you try to get as much done on your to-do list that you can, and you try to get it all done. Why? My goal is to get it done today. Why? I may not have tomorrow, and this stuff really needs to be done today. Now, if you don't get it done, you put it on the list for tomorrow, trusting that if the Lord tarries, then you'll have tomorrow. But folks have this bucket list. Anybody know what a bucket list is? What's a bucket list, Brother Duffy? Things that you want to do or accomplish before you die. In other words, these are things that you hope to do while you're living. But before you kick the bucket, so to speak, you want to get these things done. For the Christian, let me encourage you. We really should not have a bucket list because we're not promised tomorrow. Let's try and do things right then. Now, if it's saving up for money for a trip, that's another thing. Planning for a vacation, those are, I mean, you're wise to plan for those. But when it comes to a bucket list, like forgiving someone, apologizing to someone. You don't want to put that up. Well, I'll apologize to them when I get around to it. Doing the right things, reading my Bible, teaching my children, giving, those things. You don't want to put that on the bucket. Well, I'm going to read through the Bible. I'm putting that on my bucket list. No, put that on today's list to start today. Amen. And so certain things you don't want to put on that list, but there's a reminder of life's brevity. Moses said it this way. I think this is in your book as well. Psalm 90:12. So teach us to number our days. That means to total them up and see how many I have. Now, in all honesty, how many days do we really have? Today. We only have one day. We're not promised tomorrow. We're not even promised the rest of the day. And so when Moses said, teach us number our days, he was saying, hey, look, we just came through these 40 years of this. And so, you know, people are dying left and right and we're going to get in there. And so we've got to take our time seriously and wisely. And folks, I got to be honest that we only have one day.
Yes, we do.
And we put a whole lot of things on the list for tomorrow. But Shane, finals, you know, you're not promised to take a final. He said, yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes, I'm not promised to take that final. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. But we're not. Well, we got to take it one day at a time. It says the only day we have that is certain is today. That's really the only day. We must be wise in the use of the time that God has entrusted to us. And I'm sure some of you have heard this one. It says, someone said a wasted life is really nothing more than a bunch of wasted days put together.
Seven,
wow, let me read that again. A wasted life is really nothing more than a bunch of wasted days put together. You know, people that just wake up, they don't really have anything to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so they watch soap operas all day. You know, and they just don't have anything. And so they don't have a life that they're really living prosperous or productive. They don't do anything. And that is one of the worst lives to live, is to string a bunch of those wasted days together. And at the end of your life, you have done nothing for God or for anyone else. That's really sad.
Yes, it is.
And so you definitely don't want to have that one. So for the Christian, you and I are going to live one or two ways. We're going to either die or we're going to get caught up in the rapture. One of those two ways, we will go see the Lord. And I'm sure if God had a preference list, all the names would be on the rapture list.
Amen.
Very few names would be on the death list. And by the way, the names on the death list would be those people that are wishing what? We say it sometimes. Wish I was dead. I don't want to go through these problems. I want to go through these troubles. I wish I was dead.
Yeah.
If I wasn't here, I wouldn't have to go through this. And so those are the people normally are on that list. Lord, just take me. Remember Elijah? Yeah. Lord, just take me. I might as well just kill me. Moses said it. Lord, if you're going to deal this way, just kill me. You know, we have life situations that come down and they bear hard on us. And we do sometimes have the attitude, Lord, just kill me. I don't need this misery. I don't need this. Some preachers say it, Lord, I don't need this group of people in my church. Just kill me or transfer me to another church. But guess what? You got people in that church, too.
Yes, we do.
And so we don't want to be on the death list. We want to be on the living list. That means I'm living each day until the rapture or to death, one or the other. Amen. By the way, speaking about God that may call us home by death, from an unsaved perspective, death is a time of heartache and sorrow. But for a believer, death is truly a homecoming and a homegoing.
Oh, amen.
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 And I talked about this. Don't you ever wonder what heaven's going to be like?
Yeah.
I mean, we get a glimpse of it here.
I wonder.
But what is it going to be like? And what will we do? What will it be like to walk on a street of gold? What will it be like to have a mansion? What will it be like to have our bodies where the physical elements don't have any regard over our body? Will we never age? We never get sick? What will we eat? No, the talks about the tree of life and the manners of fruits that are on there. I mean, will we have catfish?
Maybe.
I hope so. No.
I hope so, Pastor. Amen.
Will our taste buds change from sweet stuff to not sweet stuff? Brother Hall looking like, I hope not.
Know.
If Joshua has any say, he wants the eternal taste buds are sweet taste buds. Amen. But what will it be like, manna?
Oh.
Will we have ovens to bake in?
Right. I'm wondering.
Will we have dishes to wash? That's not heaven. That Tamara's like, that couldn't be heaven with dishes to all that couldn't be heaven. Amen. Will there be chores to do? That couldn't be heaven. Hey, we got to work there too. When God put Adam and Eve in the garden, they had to till the ground. They had to work. Amen. So we may have some dishes to wash, proverbially speaking. Amen. For a believer, death is truly a homecoming. From the time you and I were born again, we were sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. Go over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Ephesians 1:13. Because God may call us home by death, but even if we die, we don't have to worry. I don't know about you, but when I was a very young Christian, I had these thoughts. What if I die and the Lord doesn't resurrect me? Or what if the rapture happens and he forgets me? And I see everybody going, I'm trying to catch on somebody's hand, and there's no hand to catch on. And I used to think about that when I first got saved. What if he leaves me? What if I die myself and he forgets to raise me up? And everybody else's casket opens up and mine's is closed. And I used to get afraid of stuff like that. You know why? I really didn't understand the word. I wasn't grounded in the promises. I was still struggling with my salvation. I was thinking I'm not saved. So if I'm not saved, I'm definitely not going to get raptured. Amen. And it all came down to one day, Mrs. Dawson said, just believe this is the word of God. And I told her, I'm trying, but it just wasn't sticking. And it took old Brother Dunn, as mean as he was, to scream and holler in my ear, Brother Hall, these words. Brother, why don't just grow up? And he said it mean. He said it spiteful. He said it angrily. And I'm a little lamb. You're mean. No, I didn't say that because I thought he's going to punch me. And I walked away and I thought to myself, I don't need you to tell me I'm saved. I got the Bible to tell me I'm saved. Duh, that's what Mrs. Dawson had told me. I don't need your approval. I know I'm saved. Bible tells me I'm saved. And that's what it took to get me shaken away from trying to trust in man's opinion to tell me that I'm saved and trusting the word of God. Somebody just had to tell me to grow up and stop being a baby. Amen. And it worked. It worked. Ephesians 1:13. Who's got that? Read that for me. Go ahead, Rose. Amen. We were sealed. Amen. By the way, we often seal things that we plan on using in the future. You know, ladies do canning and they seal those mason jars up and they put them away for the future. We seal up envelopes and we put them in the mail so that someone can open it in the future. We seal our houses up to keep it safeguarded so when we come back, we can open it again. The Bible says you and I are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So even if we do die, God's given us a promise. Hey, look. This life is not your home. This is only temporal. There's a reminder of life's brevity. God may call us home by death. Turn over to chapter 4 and verse number 30. And he gives the same sentiment there in chapter 4 and verse 30. And who's got that one? Can read that one. 4:30. My brother Hall.
And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption.
Yep. Amen. So again, the encouragement there is that we are sealed unto the day of redemption. So God may call us home by death, but we still don't have to worry about it. In your book, there has got Psalm 48:14. For this God is our God forever and ever. Brian, nobody's trying to get in. Just tell me I got 5 minutes left. Amen. Pastor's not going to let him. Maybe he's going to let him stay out there. Yeah, let him stay out there. Amen. No, this is my 5 minute reminder. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto what?
Death.
So we're sealed until the day of redemption. God may call someone by death, but then while death can be a sad time here on earth, God does not regard it as such. You also have that verse in your Bible, Psalm 116 and verse 15. What does it say? Precious. And the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. By the way, when is it a sad time, humanly speaking, for a saint to die? When is it a sad time for a saint to die? Because there are certain times when it's a sad time, humanly speaking, when a saint dies. They still have children, and you feel sad for the children, especially if both parents get taken at the same time. What's another time that's a sad time, humanly speaking, when someone dies? Unexpected. Or perhaps they didn't get some things right with someone else, and they know they didn't get those things right. That's a sad time for them and for the other person. Now, when is it not a sad time when a saint dies? Now, that would be a very sad time. They wouldn't be a saint if they weren't born again. Amen. Because they are born again, they are a saint. But when isn't it a sad time when a saint dies? Because the Bible says precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Yeah. When isn't it a sad time? When they're suffering, amen. Hey, I got cancer. My body's riddled with pain. I can't breathe. And you hear folks say it all the time. I just wish the Lord would hurt and take me because they don't want to go through the sufferings. That's not a sad time. We're actually excited that they get out of this body into another body. Now, excited, heavenly speaking, not excited, humanly speaking, because we're going to miss them. But, you know, when we're expecting to die, you know, someone is expected to die within a certain amount of time. It's a letdown to them when they don't die. I mean, I was hoping to die and be with Jesus at the end of the week, man. And it's been a year now. Wait a minute now. I'm ready to go home. And so certain times it's not a sad time. But from God's perspective, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. By the way, you and I would never, ever be able to fathom how much God loves us. Think about it. He created Adam and Eve for fellowship with him. God loves us and God wants to be with us. Amen. And it's so much so that he put a seal on us and gave us the Holy Spirit to be inside of us, to let us know that. Amen. And so God loves us and he longs for us. Amen. He gave heaven's best for us.
Oh, he did.
Shows you how much God loves us. And so he wants to be with us. And why do you think he's going to take us to heaven? Just because he needs somebody around? No, he's got the angels for that. He really wants to be with us. Glory to God. That's great to know that God wants to be with us. You know, we may not look like much now, but God sees something else. He sees Christ in us.
Yes, sir, he does.
And he sees the image of his dear son. He sees us translated into that image one day. And so this temporary life is just, it's that long. And so we're looking at death, but for a Christian, when a Christian dies, his soul and his spirit leave the physical body and enter into heaven and to the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got 2 Corinthians 5, 6, and 8 in your books there. Ecclesiastes says that the spirit's got to go back to a God who gave it. Go over there real quick, and we're going to close with that one. Ecclesiastes 12, 7. And we covered this with the video a couple weeks ago. Ecclesiastes 12:7. Who's there already has got that one? I can read that. Brother Hall?
Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God.
Amen. It's going to return unto God who gave it. And by the way, the unsaved will spend their time in the lake of fire, and their not a glorified body, but their eternal spiritual body will come and appear before the judgment throne of God to be eternally tormented in the lake of fire. But we will be eternally blissful in heaven. And that's why it's good to be saved. And that's why there's a reminder of life's brevity. God may call us home by death. And then next week we'll pick it up with God may call us home by the rapture, because that's where we all want to go right there. Amen. We don't want to go to the dust. We don't want to go to the worms. We don't want to go to any pain. We don't want to die in the hospital with breathing tubes up our nose and transfusions and all. We don't want to go that way. You know, you shudder when you think of that, because it's limiting. You can't do what you want to do. You're tied and you're shackled. But oh, when the rapture comes, oh. And so when you look at this whole lesson, victory over this temporal life, there is so much that we have to be reminded of, that this life that we live now is brief. If death doesn't catch us, the rapture will. And just like the sun has those clouds and they go away, this life is just that short. Yeah. We don't have a clue as to how long it's going to be. Amen. Or how short. So don't get the bucket list, get the to-do list and say, Lord, if God willing, I want to get these things done today to be right with you. I do want to go on vacation and save up for this, that. That's down there. But the things that I need to do, reading my Bible, praying, getting right with others, staying right. Now, I can do that today, and I want to do that for the glory of God. Our memory verse for next week is going to be 1 Corinthians 15:58. We'll add that on to 57. So you'll have 57 under your belt and 58. So 1 Corinthians 15:58 will be our memory verse for next week. And you can put those two both together. Amen. And we'll pick up with this next week. If the rapture doesn't happen.
Amen.
If the rapture happens, somebody, I'm sure, will fill in for me. But it will not be me. And somebody will fill in for you. And I'm sure it won't be you. Amen. And so we will not have to worry about that. We'll be observing the Lord Jesus Christ. And so by the time next week comes, hopefully the rapture will have happened. If not, we will continue with this lesson.
Amen.
Father, thank you once again for just a reminder of life's brevity. Lord, we shall not all sleep. Some of us will have to taste death. And Lord, we don't know who it is. So teach us to number our days, Lord. And help us, Lord, if you call us home by death, help us to accomplish day by day the things that we need to accomplish, telling our loved ones how much we love them and how much they mean to us. Lord, maybe forgiving someone or saying I love you to someone. Help us do those things daily. Help us to read the Word of God daily, to give ourselves unto you daily. Lord, to forgive others daily. And Lord, just to learn more about you daily that we can. And Lord, help us if you should tarry the next day to do the same thing, numbering our days one day at a time. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for the memory verse that we can memorize this week to keep our minds centered on you. Well, thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Bless our refreshments next door as well. In Jesus' name, amen.